Kansas City. You ready? You ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Welcome to the Red
Kingdom. It's the Locker Room Show with Steve Martin and Big Jax on Takeover Sports Radio.
People, what's good? Your boy Big Jax. You are inside the Locker Room Show with Steve Martin and Big Jax right here on Takeover Radio. We are kicking it off tonight as we do always. We appreciate you guys being out there checking us out. Steve, what's good, bro?
Oh, not too much, man. Just getting it on every day. Rolling and getting into it, trying to make something happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, we all got to get through that. So it's all good, man. A lot to talk about as we're going to get into all kind of stuff. We got a special guest who's going to be in the house with us tonight. Of course, we're going to be talking cheese, all of that. But really, to me, we don't even want to waste no time because the great part about being in the locker room is the conversations that happen in the locker room. So we're going to bring in our special guest, the one and only, my guy, Marcus Spears is in the house. What's up, big dog?
What's going on, brother? What's going on?
Man, it's all good, brother. You, everything's well with you, I hope.
Man, I have no complaints down here in this hot box in Houston, man. No complaints.
Oh, man, I know it's like 138 degrees in Houston, ain't it?
Yes, it is. Yes,
it is. And it's been that way all summer long.
Well, no, we had you know, a couple of hurricanes and a lot of, you know, weather that kind of cooled it off. But once that rain go away, bro, it's 7-Eleven wieners roasting out here, brother.
I know it. Humid as hell, boy.
That's the wieners on the roaster, bro. Spinning.
There's the auto ones behind this line are already cooked. You know what I mean?
Right. Spinning.
Boy, I remember getting off the plane going down that joint. Boy, them waves were rolling. You could see them smacking your face.
Bro, sir. If the sun don't kill you, the mosquitoes will lift you off the ground and take you away.
Carry you on off.
It is. They took a small child the other day, boy, the mosquito attack.
Well, I tell you what, man, like I said, man, this is a great pleasure. Appreciate you coming on with me and Steve, man. I know you guys are teammates during your time here, right?
Yes, we fought. We fought all day long.
Yeah, just for that year, though, but yeah, it was a fun year, boy. I tell you what, it was nice. Marcus kept the locker room rolling. That's just who he is. He's just one of them funny kids.
But still had to do your job at the same time.
No doubt, man. Tell me, Marcus, tell me about, you know, how many years were you in the NFL?
I stole 12.
Peace. That's a beautiful thing. And you, what? I know you were here. You were here for what? 5, 6 years?
From 97 to 04.
Oh, wow. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt. I know you're, like you said, you're back in Houston now. What do you do now, like, for your daily activity? What's your normal day look like for you?
Man, I get up and I just pretty much I'm on all disabilities and stuff right now, and social security, and everything. Yeah. So I don't let them see me doing nothing. So
nothing.
I get up, bro, and I managed to do pillow through the day and maybe go to the gym every now and then. I hadn't been in a while. I had some surgeries going on, so trying to get back into that. So. But, man, just trying to maintain, man, and manage money. And I'm a grandpa now and still got a son that's playing. I know, man. I'm a pop, grandpa's, man.
Nice. So, ain't it a different feeling? Ain't nothing like
it. It is a different feeling, bro. I don't care nothing about that boy. Put that baby on the phone.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, we won't see you. I won't see you. Put the baby on the phone. Give her my number. She ain't on the call me. But that's how I feel. I won't see you getting the baby.
Really,
I didn't think I would be like that. But it's like, you know, I don't even see you. Put the baby on the phone.
Put the baby on the
phone. Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
Yeah, when it went, hey, Papa.
She's not old enough to talk yet, so. She's 11 months.
Anyway,
I know, man. Man, I miss those days, man. I miss those days.
Man, I can bet. So, Steve, tell me about your battles. Like you said, you on defense, Marcus on offense. Your everyday battles in practice, I know, they was for real, seriously.
But again, keep in mind now, we was banging back in our day. See, that powder puff they do right now, boy. Man, you lose years on your career.
And right. And they get banging for some stuff. Man, they would start it over if they didn't hear, start it over. Start it over. It's not like a pillow fight out here. Start it over.
Yeah. And you talk about, and this, see, he's always had good offensive lines, so let's not make that no blend.
No.
So, you know, you coming in and you got to go against all these hosses, and like I said, it's 9-on-7. It's like, shit, you got to put your chin strap on, make sure you got all your stuff
on. The only thing between a game and practice is we didn't have a Star Spangled Banner in practice. Everything else was game tempo, buddy.
Star-Spangled Banner, and that's it.
That's the only thing we didn't have. Everything else, you get messed up. You get them skinny pips.
But you get your TV, you be singing the Star-Spangled Banner.
Right? Oh, man. I mean, it was twice.
Don't wear no mouthpiece. Good luck.
All right, 2 practices a day, man. Come on, bro. 2 hard practices a day.
Yeah.
Hard practices.
And they better been hard, because if you wasn't going hard, you weren't going to be on the team.
Right.
That door walk you out right out the door. It's like, oh, King.
Right out. Bring your playbook with you.
And that's the worst part, is they don't tell you nothing. They just watch the film, and you know something wrong when they don't mention you.
Right. Yeah. When they stop talking to you, that's a wrap.
Yeah.
It really is.
At least if they're yelling at you or they're trying to coach you up, you know you still are in the game. You still got a chance. When they quit talking to you, it's over.
Yeah.
Right.
There ain't none of that yelling and fussing and cussing. They don't do all that. It's like, you know what you did on this play. Yeah, I didn't do that right. I didn't do this right. Oh, okay, as long as you know. And that's the discussion. There's no, you better again, unless you're like a superstar. But they don't even yell at them.
Oh, shit.
You know, and like I said, I backed up Chester McLaughlin and Dan Williams. They didn't say shit to them. There was no, yes, like, hey, yes. Shit, you know what you did? Yeah, I got it. That was it. So, yeah. But, yeah, well, you know, Marcus is a star being kind of like me, fill in everywhere. You played some guard. You played on the left side, though. Mainly,
I played every side. I played all sides.
You didn't snap, though.
Did not snap, but I played every tight end and everything, bro. I'm spat ankles. Did it all. I did it all, bro. Tape wrist, did all that.
Marcus, where you grow up at?
I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Baton Rouge?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And you went to school in Texas, right?
Northwestern State, Louisiana.
Northwestern State, Louisiana. It's Louisiana, too.
Yes, sir. I stayed in, man, that seems like a whole lifetime ago, man.
It really was at this point, you know.
A whole lifetime ago. I knew Steve. I met Steve. Me and Steve go way back. I was at his first wedding, actually.
That's right.
We were at a retreat. And, yeah, this was years ago. We was at a retreat. It was a Baptist or it was an FCA retreat.
FCA. FCA retreat. 90, 97?
This is way before that, I think, huh?
No, because I came out in 95.
Okay, so it was 97.
Well, it was 96. It could have been 96.
96, he was at a retreat, and he and his lady, they were, they got married there, man. I had to experience that, man. That was cool. We go way back.
At an FDA retreat.
We met in a marriage counseling class, and we were going through it then.
Wow. That's crazy.
He was catching it then.
We tried. We tried.
He was catching it then, man. So we go away. We were fighting and battling then. So we just... But, man, Steve was alone, man, trying to move that dude every day, man. And, you know, D-line and O-line are totally different. I got the characteristics of a D-lineman when I played O-line. Because D-line crazy.
Crazy, boy. It's probably a D-lineman that started it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. They talk, oh, man, you got to match it. If you don't match their energy, they got you.
Boy. Oh, yeah.
You have to match.
Yeah.
I say all the time, playing the line, you ain't got to be smart, but you got to be tough.
No. You got to be tough. You have to match. You have to match energies, man, because one-on-ones, man, if you go out there with your mouth all tight, you get ran over.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, you
got to come over. We still have the day when it was downhill football.
Right.
So there was no... Right. When nothing was working, it's downhill. We ISO dime lead, period.
Dude, Steve got all that girth behind him. You ain't got no girth, Steve.
Yeah, you got to have some girth behind you, baby.
You got them thighs and hips, boy. Whoop.
The one thing about the defensive lineman, man, when you got to come in that gap and take that double team on, there's nothing on the field that's happening like having to take on a double team up front.
Right.
that's a particular skill, and it never looks good. It's not a good look, but it's what has to be done.
No,
of course you know.
When you play
one linebacker to make that tackle.
You can't get moved when you play.
No, you can't now. And the best A gappers are the ones with all the girth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Gilbert Brown and mm-hmm. man, all these cats, man.
In Washington, yeah, you're right.
Can't move them.
Yeah,
but I was a backup, so I had to be able to play, and so I couldn't. It too big to because I still had to go out play some in when it was real run, but I wasn't gonna be too fat because I couldn't move out there at end. So it was hard to balance the two. And every time Marcus come a guard, I took on the center because I ain't fucking with Marcus.
Slide on over. Slide on over.
Hey man, them battles were legendary, man. We had practices, man. You had to go.
You think that I know you mentioned earlier the powder puff that you feel like they do now. Do you think, let me ask you this, and I heard somebody talking about it today. It's actually Mitchell Schwartz. And he was saying how when you get to camp and you've been working out all summer or whatever, all off season, you think you're in real good shape. But by that second and third day, you dragging. Like, there's nothing like being in football shape. You know what I'm saying? Talk about them when you at camp and you trying to battle in there and you just getting, I mean, it's just a, to me, like you said now, do these dudes really, they don't work nearly as hard as y'all had to go back then. It's not even close. Like, the union has made sure that they're not going to work these dudes to death.
Yeah, but the rules, you know, they got, 17 games now? They're trying to have 18 games now. They're trying to push it.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful with that, though. But they're taking care of them. They are definitely taking care of them better than they took care of us. But that's the evolution of the game. The money's way different.
I'd say guys like Saban and Belichick, they're out because they got that old school mindset, like, I want to beat the brakes off of you to start stuff. Yeah. And that don't work anymore. You got to evolve. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, these kids, they're going to be tough enough because it's still football. The thing is that there was a lot of mystery to our game. At the time, there wasn't a lot of scrambling quarterbacks. I mean, they were evolving and coming through, but, it was, if nothing was working, you get double tight, two backs in the backfield, and it's smash mouth. And that was everybody.
Everybody.
So they all had the razzle-dazzle, wide-open passing game. Everybody had that. But when that wasn't working, they didn't want their quarterback hurt, so they just go downhill football.
Right.
So that's that time and era we came up in. So I don't want to make it sound like these kids today aren't tough. They got to be tough because it's still football.
Right.
But, their readiness, if they had to go a smash-mouth game, I can't wait to see what team does it. Because that's what Bama did with Saban. When all the razzle-dazzle and all the wide stuff wasn't working, he put double tight, two backs in the backfield, ISO lead, dive. Stop it.
So,
that's old school football.
Go down your throat with it.
Once again, you guys
are locked in the Locker Room Show with Steve Martin and Big Jax. We got our special guest, my man, Big Dog, Marcus Spears, in the house today. We are talking all kind of stuff about football. You know, you had this opportunity to take a peek inside the locker room with me. One thing I will say, just mention the money, Marcus, And somebody was asking me today, do I think the Chiefs are going to sign CeeDee Lamb? I'm like, they might not even pay him all that money. You know what I mean? Like, this dude's going to want at minimum $30 million a year wherever he goes, right? So the money is just so different in terms of the volume of it over the course. And that's because the NFL just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger, like, every single year. Man, talk about, what you see from the game today in terms of, I know you would have wanted to get this money these cats are getting now, boy.
Of course, think about all the people that came before us that was making nickels had to get jobs in the offseason. So the game evolved to the point where, man, the money is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The money is it earned? Yeah, I think some of these guys is worth what they're getting.
Yeah.
But shit, when you think about it, shit, Mahomes not even the highest paid quarterback right now.
Right.
Mahomes not even the highest paid quarterback.
Right.
And he's proven, right?
He's the best.
Right. Who's the highest paid quarterback right now?
Right now, the last one to find, I know Burrow is right there, and I can't remember who just signed. Somebody else just signed right after Burrow.
Who was it, man? Green Bay?
He is Jordan Love. Yes, sir. Jordan Love. So
dude, now think about what Brock Purdy going to get. Brock Purdy going to break the bench.
Yeah, he is. His time is coming. And, it's kind of wild. It's really cool to me to be able to watch Patrick Mahomes and how he deals with the money because people – for one, people don't really recognize that contract he signed a few couple years ago, his big contract, I mean, that was a 10-year deal that at the time was the biggest single contract in sports, like, across the board. Like, this dude, but the thing for him is he did that he set it up in such a way that the team had some flexibility and, could just rearrange some things and put right a zero over here instead of over there, and it's all going to equal out at the end, but it's going to allow us to make sure that we can keep a player like Chris Jones. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. that we can sign these other players and make sure this team is as good as it can be, that you can go ahead and have the highest paid kicker, even though, I mean, you know, that's not something that's a huge amount of money, but it's still the highest paid kicker in the league. Like, you know, you still got to give it up to him because he's a good player. So, you know, that ability for Pat to not have to worry about the money. And I tell people all the time, man, that dude, his father was a professional baseball player. Like, he didn't have to buy his mama a house when he got his first contract, you know? Like, she had a very nice crib already. He's cool, you know? And so it just gave him a way to look at the money, I think, in a different way than a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys have to go get that check right now. Like, no question.
Well, look, I'm 6-1 hand, half dozen the other, because in one regard I see, hey, you only got a small window of opportunity to make this kind of money.
Yep.
But I will say that the money's so stupid now that it's like, whoa. I mean, we got a Whataburger on every quarter now in Kansas City.
You know it.
Whataburger until we got Pat Mahomes.
That's right.
So, I mean, it is what it is. He's on every commercial. He's done tremendous, and I would say this: we at the stage in this game where Pat should start getting a percentage of the club revenue, like what Kansas City Chiefs makes, he gets a percentage. Because I don't want that joker going nowhere.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
He ain't going nowhere. He's done.
Because ultimately, it don't matter how much you pay him. You right. You can't pay him enough. You really just,
no.
He's worth to this organization, you could not physically pay him enough.
No, right. You would really just have to give him 2 or 3 years revenue of the whole team justify. Because, you know, how many years has it been since we won a Super Bowl? And 50. This joker that won 3? Come on,
man. 69, 68, 69.
we won Super Bowl 4, and then we won Super Bowl 54. Real easy. That's 50 of them in between. So
right.
That dude right there has, you know. And you know what's funny, Marcus, man? I tell people this story sometimes, and you probably don't even remember this, that I was around. When you, one of these, later on, you were still with the Chiefs, and you were looking to go to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Baltimore came in and offered you a very nice contract. And I remember you being in the break room at Carter Broadcast Group, Hot 103 Jams, and you were kind of sitting there, and I walk in, and we start talking, and you were literally weighing what you were going to do, whether you were going to leave Kansas City for Baltimore. Kansas City was going to end coming through and giving you your bread that you really wanted. Like, if you think I'm going to take the money and go to Baltimore, because look, you said I have a limited amount of time, and I'm going to be able to make this money, and I have to maximize all of these dollars because I have to be able to live with this for the rest of my life. Like, I'm never going to get a chance at this again. And honestly, for me, at that particular point, because, you know, as fans, most of the time fans choose, for some reason, the owner over the player in these contract-type situations. I guess it's hate, really, in their heart, because they feel like, you know, this is a game that a lot of us played through high school, some of us all the way into college, you know, for almost nothing. Some of us free. And
educational-wise, you get something for something. They give you an education for it.
But to see a player, be able to go and make this great living playing a game that we all play for free, most of the time the fans see that and they kind of got a little hate in their heart for that. And so side with the owner, and that was a point where it just drew home to me, no, man, this owner about to make this bread forever. Like, this cat has got to make this money for his family's future right now. Like, it ain't no thing, it's right now. Get your money. So I've said this forever. I have never since then ever begrudged a player holding out or whatever they feel like they got to do in order to make sure they get their money, because, you know, your career could be over quick in an instant.
Yeah, okay.
You got to get it while you can.
You know, you gotta get it.
Yeah.
You have to get it. And ain't nobody going, you have to get it and stay getting it.
I tell you what, man, that's for sure. Like I said, I'm never mad at a player. Yo, figure out what it takes, man. And
hey, man, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to have to redo everything just to make sure that, because I don't know how long the salary cap's going to even last. Because in reality, once you build that squad, I think the biggest thing that everybody should pay attention to is the chemistry. Because when you got that locker room chemistry, it's a little something extra to go out there and fight for your partner. Not your friend, not the guy you work with, you know, because I've been on teams, you know, I did not get along with when I first got in the league, I didn't get along with the middle linebacker. I was a rookie too, so, and he made me go get 12 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts every Tuesday, which Monday.
Oh, Krispy Kreme. I miss Krispy Kreme so much.
But boy, I had to spend $120. I'm like, these jokers would eat but two dozen. The whole thing.
Lord have mercy, Krispy Kreme. Lord have mercy. You didn't.
I opened up the wounds, did I?
Oh,
that, Winters just ain't doing it. You need that Krispy Kreme, huh?
Oh, I don't know what they're talking about. Who got the best donuts? And I mean, I hate to F up the conversation. But you just touched my heart, boy, when you said Krispy Kreme. God damn, I want some Krispy Kreme.
Don't storm the Capitol tonight, bro. And don't do it.
Oh my God! What's the donuts in Kansas? What's the other donuts in Kansas City?
Lamar.
Man, I tried Lamar donuts. When them jokers get cold, you kill somebody.
I get it.
Krispy Kreme, 11 seconds in the microwave, it's just like it came out the grease.
It will melt in your mouth. That
I have a formula. My formula, 11 seconds.
Straight out the grease.
Now, we can get back. That is all for the commercial. That's all.
Yeah, we need to go holler. Yeah, I know, right? I need to go
get
Krispy Kreme franchise.
Oh. Boy, made me sit up on the bed. Where is it at? I go to my where is it at, man?
All you need is 11 seconds in that microwave.
What? 11 seconds? They brand new. It's like a brand new donut, not the grease.
And this one I'm talking about, because this
you gotta have layers.
I'll fight that much harder for my boy because he keep me laughing like this.
You know,
but you have to think about it. We're around the locker room. We're around each other every day.
Yeah, but I've been in some bad locker rooms now.
Sundown, huh?
I've been in some bad locker rooms now, where you know you hate the motherfuckers you coming in and see it. I don't want to see some of these cats. But my rookie year, I got so mad at that middle linebacker, I'm ready to kill him. But guess what? On game day, it didn't matter. I didn't care about what he said because it's about going out here and battling. So I actually played better with him because I couldn't stand him. But he's the only one that I've ever played with that, you know, I couldn't stand his guts off the field. But on the field, we was like Ike and Tina. We got it done.
Getting the hits, bringing the hits, baby.
So, you know,
I mean, there's a degree of the dysfunction in everybody's household, right?
Yeah.
Right. A little dysfunctional.
Yeah, everybody don't like everybody all the time. That's just what it is.
No, but, I agree. Some cats, I didn't.
But it does help.
I was just saying the other night, though, you know, I was talking to some people. We were talking about marriage. Right now I'm on year 27. It'll be 27 at the end of this month. And you know, people talk about how you keep the love for 27 years. So it's not about love. It's about commitment. Like, you know, I might not really even like you today, but I ain't going nowhere. I'm committed to this situation. I'm committed to finding a way to make this work. And, you know, sometimes it got to be that. Sometimes it's that way with people in the locker room. You know, I don't really like you, but yeah. I'm committed to make us win. So whatever it takes, get this done. Yeah. I'm committed to winning. Yeah.
And that's what really moves, in my opinion, what really moves the team, because you got to be committed at least on game day. You ain't got to be friends when you walk off the field. You ain't got to be friends going out, hanging out at people's houses. You got to do all that. But on game day, that's what you got to be. So the thing I think the Chiefs got right now is they got an unbelievable chemistry between their franchise people, and they're able to open the door for everybody to come in and be a part. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the thing. And your franchise people, you know, they're not chasing the bag. They're chasing the glory. The whole reason we play this game, we all dream of winning the Super Bowl. And now they on the verge of making history. You going to win three in a row? Oh, these cats are ready to die for this. They going to go out there and be ready to kill somebody for this. I'm serious. At least that's how I look at it.
Because
I tried everywhere to fit. And I was just a mercenary. That's just what it was. Yeah. But, man, yeah, you get that chemistry with those core people. That's it. That's the X factor.
And you just add pieces to it, you know.
Yeah, interchangeable parts.
They didn't know that they were going to be this good without Tyreek Hill, but they're just as good.
What's that fullback they got? The one dude, man, he looked like a Chiefs guy.
Right.
From Ball State. Yeah, he gonna be a Chief. Like he got to do something real bad to screw up, because he's exactly what Andy likes. Andy likes the fullback. Right. He likes the fullback.
Well, that's old school. Last year
was, they said, was his first year not having one, and they think that, you know, he might be one of. It's definitely the thing that attracts him to this kid. Is the idea of having somebody that can actually get in and play that fullback position. Now, I think the only problem that they are kind of working out is, can he also run the ball on an every down basis, because you can only keep so many running backs, especially if you're trying to keep three, maybe even four tight ends. Like, you can only keep so many people. Like, but if the guy can... You know, if you got Pacheco back there, you got Clyde you got to deal with, you got the kid Tulsa that they found, the free agent from last year that they really like, Denarius Prince, and then you got this rookie kid, and you afford to keep four running backs, or who's going to be on the outs in that situation, you know?
Who you think he remind you of, Marcus?
That's good, because I was gonna say T. Rich, but
that's where I was going. I was gonna say it too.
I would say Kimble, more of a. I mean, Kimble was a Swiss Army knife. Kimble Anders was a Swiss Army knife fullback.
Yeah.
That's what you really want at fullback. You can be an H back. You know what I'm saying? You can convert them. You can put them, you know what I'm saying? That's the new fullback. You know, able to be versatile, you know, if you got to run them in the slot, you know.
Yeah.
You pretty much do everything. Switch on that. So,
yeah.
I like that comparison.
You got to have one of those. You always got to have a switch on
that. Because T-Rich was a tall fullback.
Right.
But he was more fullback tight end. But you're right, Kimble was very elusive. He could do tight end, halfback, slot. Yeah, right. I agree with you.
The fullback position is evolved too, you know. offense, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Especially that one. Because you got they were converted to H back, and now it's a bunch of stuff now. So.
And that right there, you that's very important, because if he has those abilities to be that versatile, then maybe it does take pressure off of the idea. You maybe do only got to keep three tight ends now, because
right.
he essentially on some of those play packages where you know if somebody was down and you had to have a tight end in there, he can play that H back, you know, which is basically just a tight end split out, you know, a fullback split out anyway. So. That's a great example of that position of what he needs to be. He needs to be Kimball Anders. I love that.
Well, see, Andy is old school, so Andy will go to a two back, you know, backfield and have a full back blocking, you know. Yeah. But that's one of the things that fascinates about Andy, old school, but he's still, you know, that's what keeps the fullback alive. You need 2 yards, bring in the fullback and block. You know?
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you last let me see.
That downhill short yardage, I don't even know how they work it anymore. But you know when you see the fullback come in. And I'm thinking I was in Minnesota, so we had Klein Saucer, who was that. He was never running back. He could never do that. But I think this kid could do running back more like Kimball did. But I think he could be that HG double tight guy, come from fullback lineup at overload, and he'd do a lot of stuff. And that third down, fourth down, because what's deadly on that is if you give to the fullback, and then the next time you in that situation, you play action fake on that. Oh. Them linebackers suck up on that shit every time, boy, I promise you. And that is a deadly, deadly play on short yardage for any defense, because the linebacker, that joker, you fake that ball, he's got to be stepping right now.
Right now.
That fullback. Because if he don't step now, he's going to get trucked. So, I think this kid would be a great addition to the team. And that's a good question. What do? Do you keep four running backs, or does he jump with the tight ends? Where do you put them?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's a good problem to have.
That is a great problem. Yeah. I love it. Once again, you guys are inside the Locker Room Show with Steve Martin and Big Jax. We got our special guest, my man Marcus Spears in the house, former Chief, you know, always a Chief, really. I mean, that's our guy right there, so... So great to get a chance to talk to Marcus and talk some football inside the locker room show here on on Takeover Sports Radio. So as part of that, as we continue down that line, you know, I was just looking at this offense right now and really getting it. I'm just so amped for this season anyway, right? But, you know, I hate that we lost Hollywood Brown, but I guess we kind of, I mean, the guy has missed a lot of games throughout the course of his career. He's never played all 16 or 17 games in a year. So I guess we had to be able to be prepared to deal with that. But I still think even without Hollywood in the temporary, that this receiving core overall is still going to be better and more efficient than what they were last year. Giving Pat additional weapons, especially the rookie, Worthy being able to really get over the top, and you really got to respect that speed. That's going to be so key to him to Pat being able to open up this offense a little bit more. And they were 17th in the league in scoring last year. So the idea that they can improve a great deal and get inside the top 10, let alone the top 5, if you got a top 5 offense with this team, oh, my goodness, man.
I'm going to go with Al Davis and just say, just win, baby. It doesn't
pretty much.
It, just win, whatever it takes.
Stacks don't really mean too much.
Thank you. Would you tell them that once upon a time when we played football, we just had to win? And then you look at the stats, you're like, oh, we only got 100 yards of offense? Yeah, but they only got 62 yards of offense. So, you know, and that's the other thing. Is what's undersung in my belief in the Chiefs, even though Pat is magical and does all the wonderful things he does, I'm a defensive guy. And I'm going to tell you, the way Spags call defenses is second to none.
Second to none.
I mean, the way he called that, you got to understand, you got to shut down the best guys in this game. And the way they shut down Christian McCaffrey was all Spags. The two tackles and Spags. Because he had to have coverage so Brock Purdy couldn't see nothing. And then you got Big Ben coming through that just, he don't know when he's going to break free and when he's not. So Brock's young, he couldn't adjust to that. And when he lost McCaffrey, as far as the tackles taking out the run, that's all she wrote. So that's my defensive opinion. But when we get back and talk about the offense, the rookie's in a great spot. He can't lose. All right. He got to do is stay healthy. He'll got to run three routes. He got to run right. To go. He got to run the sail. And he got to run the post. He ain't got to learn nothing else. Don't have him do nothing else. Just be fast. Not fast. F-A-S-S. Just be fast. And catch the ball.
Yeah.
He going to get it to you. So don't sweat it. You know, just
catch
run.
Catch the ball. Yeah.
And once he does that, that makes him go cover 2, cover 3, and they got to commit. And that's what everybody hated when Cheetah was here, is they had to commit to having 2D because that little sub buck was going to get past somebody. So you had to have the other guy there. Yeah. And that's all this kid got to do. Just be fast.
Yeah. I can't. And you know, of course, in the other piece of that, Marcus, is in order for him to have skill, even being fast, even if he's fast, in order for him to have enough time to get downfield and be a real potential target, Pat's got to have time as well. So I'll be real interested. It looks like the rookie, Kingsley Satomaia, is going to win that left tackle spot. I don't know if you've had a chance to see him at all and look to see what he looks like.
No, I have not.
He is very athletic, you know. You know those something about, and I'm not like, you know, stereotyping, but them Samoan players, man, when they be athletic and big like that, they just be super strong and Cox Diesel, you know. They can plant them guys, man. And so this dude is like super. He got them big tree trunk legs, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, this dude is nice, and he can really, really buckle down because, of course, when you got a veteran like Steve Martin coming off that end, that he knows every trick in the book because he's in year 5, 6, 7 of his career, and he knows every technique to get past you in the book, and you're a rookie, you know, you got to hold up. That's
a lot
of
pressure coming up. If they got Steve Martin at defensive end, boy,
you get the bull rush.
They would have got some monsters in the middle if they got Steve at the end. They got some absolute goons in the middle.
Well, thank you, Marcus.
He just gave a scenario of Big Steve Martin coming off the ear. I'm like, well, shit.
Who's playing the shotgun? You know what I'm saying? He's on the nose. He's on the nose.
Yeah, I would prefer him in the middle. I need a Dwight Freeney type coming around that corner. With not so many beans in his pocket. How about that? can we have that one? That scenario, please? He said, Big Steve Martin on the end. I said, man, they're going to check out the Omaha. Omaha!
Omaha,
you got me right on the corner. Change the formation. Left. Over your left.
Full base, full base.
Back tip.
Omaha.
Man, if I see a joker that big at defensive end, Omaha. Head up to the left. Change this shit to left. He going left. He not going left.
What you talking about? Call a timeout, dude. We need to
yeah. No. Something ain't right in the formation. Ooh, no.
Oh, man, bro. That's hilarious, bro. That is funny. But I'm just saying, man, it gotta be hard for these rookies, man, to come in against these type of, you know, if you got George Karloftis coming off that edge or, you know, Joey Bosa, you know what I mean? Like, that's going to be something to hold up to. And I'm excited, though. I hope the kid can really make it happen, because if they continue to keep that offensive line solid and give Pat time, and now you got somebody who can get, you know, blow the top off the defense, those things.
I mean, we talk about quarterback and receiver and all of that, but the real people who stir the coffee is the interior. And if the interior is here to play, they're going to walk you to the championship. They'll walk you to the Super Bowl. I mean, the only Super Bowl loss the Chiefs got is when they didn't have the two tackles, right?
That's right.
Right. That shows you right there, without offensive line, you can't win, bro.
You can't.
You cannot win without.
That was running for his life in that Super Bowl game.
Right. From the first play, he was running, he was scrambling. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was crazy. When Fisher went down, man, it was just one tackle too far, you know what I'm saying? That was it. Like,
yeah,
they already got hurt. They had hurt, like, literally, they was down, like, two offensive lines worth of players that year, you know? And,
right.
And once Fisher went down, it was done. There was no more hope.
Right. That's a lot. I mean, what can you do? You got to, man, it was tough sailing. That was tough.
Yeah, they scored 9 points in that game.
It was tough to watch. That was tough and disappointing to watch, because they didn't come in with all their guns smoking.
Yeah.
And it's football, and the next man got to step up. But this is the biggest game of the year. This is the biggest game of the year. And if you ain't got your bookends, you ain't got your bookend tackles, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
That's when you need special people to do special things. And if you ain't got enough of them special people, You out of luck.
You can only fix a flat that so much when you can't. It's like, man, you can only fix a flat that, bro. That ain't nothing you can just do in one game, bro.
I agree. It was hard to watch. Because the man's scrambling for his life, and
it's like, life.
Boy, we don't need you to be, you know, all world. We just need you to be good enough.
Yeah, he was scrambling. He was scrambling, and that did not look good.
Mm-hmm. And that's so, you know, like you said, most people don't even watch the offensive line. Like, they can't really, you know, most people really can't even follow what's actually going on the front line and follow the ball at the same time. So, right, and, you know, most people just don't have a clue. Like, right now, I love when I watch them and I see Trey Smith, and he comes around from that right side to out to that left side, and he coming up on one of them linebackers or that safety right there, and just, you know what I'm saying? Straight on their back, man. That's the most beautiful playing football to me. I'm screaming and hollering. Everybody else is, you know, they glad for a good run, but I'm like, did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, no one notices us, bro. We the, unless we mess up.
Right.
Yeah, they know you're in.
Oh, they know you're in. Well.
They know you're in, yeah, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know that block. Like, why that man come around that corner just smoking with a cigar in his mouth, just smacking the piss out of our quarterback?
Right.
They know you then.
They know you then. Yeah,
that's something I say with Juwan Taylor, you know. I hear, especially in the media people, again, because most of them didn't even play, let alone play up front or be able to even know what's going on up there. But when they talk about Juwan Taylor and all the offside penalties, okay, and whatever other penalty, he's one of the highest penalized players in the league last year and was actually that before he got here. That wasn't new for him. That's just, for some reason, a little bit of part of his game. But what I would tell people is watch the plays when he doesn't get a penalty. That joker is blocking it up. Do you hear me? Against some of the best rushers in the whole league now. Like, to me, the old school idea and mindset of left tackle versus right tackle, like, that's gone. Like, that's done, bro. Like, it doesn't matter if Bosa knows that your right tackle is weak and your left tackle is the best dude in the game. He got to go over on the right side. Like, you know, I'm going to still get the pressure on the quarterback is what matters. And so, when I watch Juwan play, I say to people all the time, man, when that joker he stays in front, he does exactly what he's supposed to do, especially as long as he don't get caught offside. You know what I'm saying? Like, but every time somebody calls you, he gets caught offside. Like you said, that's the only time people even notice him. It's because you did something wrong, because you messed up, you know?
Boy, you got to stop me. This guy got to stop this antelope from running back here unabated.
Right.
And you know how hard it is. Now, they ask you to do two things. Be 6'4", 6'5", be 300-plus pounds, bench the world, but move mm-hmm. your feet. Like he was a defensive end. Because yeah. you got to block this guy. Good luck.
How to block him?
I wasn't no Joey Bosa, but I was playing with Baja Biamila. That was the fastest outside guy I've ever seen. And he didn't have a lot of science to his moves, but he was technically sound and he was strong enough. But he took that little frame. And he smoked tackles, just smoke them. And they good tackles. And it's just like, right. Ooh. It's just what it is, man. And that's what they got to block now. They got to block these deer that line up on the outside, and yeah. you built like a Sherman tank. It's real hard to move them feet. So any big dude that's 3-plus that can move their feet, and see if they get too light, guess what they going to do? They going to put me out there.
Over.
And that's just what it is. So... if he getting offsides, in my opinion, he's trying.
Right. Because
he knows his body don't move that quick.
Right.
So
right.
That's the trade-off.
Right.
You only get a couple, Jonathan Ogden and Marcus Spears. You only get a couple of them.
Right.
They got some nice, elusive feet that they can move.
Yeah.
You don't. Go ahead.
No, it just had to be versatile, bro. I could do left and right tackle, and not many guys can do that in a game. I could do that in a game.
You know? Yeah. You did do that too, didn't you? Because you played for Victor and you played for Taylor.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. That was an early game, wasn't it?
Victor Riley. Victor, Big Vic, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. You had to go both sides.
And you had Tate on the other side. Yeah, you had to come in. Yeah, like I said, like you said, that's unfortunate. Well, and that's just the nature of football. And that's just how it is. When you play up front, you don't get the glory. It's not the glory spot. You know, that's just, we've known that since Little League. That's how it's always been, you know.
Right.
I know how important it was. It was funny, my senior year in high school, our offensive line averaged about 275. And so the newspaper dude called us the Wall. So we ran with that all year. Like when the TV crews would come out to interview us before the games on, you know, Friday or whatever, they would talk to us, talk to the offensive linemen. And everybody was like, how did that happen? You know what I mean? Like, it's like normally the quarterback or the running back that gets all the glory, but we just had a squad, man, of the wall, and we were in a rare position that the offensive line was the feature part of our team, you know, and that's very rare. That's very rare.
Very, very. I don't know. There's only one, well, two here at the Chiefs and Dallas, the only ones and don't get rid of Pittsburgh was also another one. Everybody in the league, though, who they got to get through. And trust me, there's been some somber days, you know, when you coming out like, ooh, I don't know if we're going to do this one. You start cutting them. That's because I got no funk for you. You're too big, you're too strong. I just got to cut you.
You got to get you on the ground.
What you say, old girl say, now I got to cut you.
It is.
When you get to, I cut you.
It is.
Once again, you guys are locked into the Locker Room Show with Steve Martin and Big Jax. We got Marcus Spears in the house with us today inside the locker room. We sure appreciate him hanging out with us here on Takeover Sports Radio. Of course, we laugh and have a great time because that's who Marcus is, man. So as we talked a little bit about the offense, you started, Steve, as you mentioned, you're a defensive guy. If this defense can just be most of what it was last year, if they can be most of that, I don't see how this team loses. Honestly, like, what we just talked about, the weapons that they're going to bring on offense, and, you know, history tells you, you're going to have a game or two in here somewhere that you're not going to win. But I'm talking about in the playoffs against, you know, when they are running at their top, I just don't see how you beat these guys. If this offense puts up 25, 28 points a game, with this defense who averaged giving up 17 points a game last year, what do you do with that, man? I can't wait to see what Spags does with this defense coming up this year, if they can get back to that same level.
Yeah, that's another factor I left out of there, because they had a lot of injuries on defense too. So, that, again, it falls on the play caller, because you're going against, first of all, you're going against the superstar quarterback wide receiver combination.
Right.
You got to stop the run, because if you don't stop the run, the good coaches are going to run on you. And that's a long, long game when they can just run on you at will. So, that's why I keep emphasizing chemistry, because that secondary got to know each other. And I would say the first four games, you're learning each other, regardless if you've been together for a long time or not. You still, you know, everybody's a year older. And that's, I can't even say dog years. What would you say? It's like the life of a fly. I mean, like within hours, you're older than what you were before.
Right.
So the ability to adjust and do those things, that's the first thing. And then the second thing, your DC got to make good calls. He got to know and study who he's playing, and he doesn't have to beat the coach, but he's definitely got to beat that quarterback. Because if that quarterback has enough wisdom, experience, let alone athleticism, if he's smart enough to make his adjustments, you got to have an adjustment for his adjustment.
Right.
So I give a ton of credit to the Chiefs' success, and I've heard Mahomes say it and Kelce say it. Hell, there's been games that it's been the defense that won it for us, because you got to stop these superstars. You got to stop Burrow and Chase. And I emphasize all the time, there's no good team that doesn't have that 1-2 combo. If they got three, it's even harder. So, you know, and Cincinnati got the Chiefs' number. I hate saying it. It makes me mad. I don't like that, because Cincinnati, I don't think, is as good as some of these other teams. But they got our number because of those two jokers, that Burrow and that damn Chase. And I challenge anybody, go look back at the film when they played him, when Cincinnati won. He threw an over-the-shoulder pass to Ja'Marr Chase that Chase didn't look up. I mean, he had his head turned, but he just put his hand literally like inches from his shoulder pad, and he caught that ball.
Man, but T. Higgins was their kryptonite too. Yeah, you have to understand.
That's my point.
He had nothing for T. Higgins. Couldn't stop
him. You got to spend it on Chase. But what are you going to do with Higgins? He's over there beating the brakes off of you.
And then Tyler Boyd's running around in the middle of the pool too.
Well, that's scheme, bro. You got to figure out the scheme. That's like you just said,
Steve. If you got the quarterback receiver combo, but now you got a quarterback receiver and another receiver, and now you got a quarterback, a receiver, another receiver, and take T. Boyd as a tight end. Like, to me, that's the reason why Cincinnati has had the Chiefs number, because in my opinion, that's the best wide receiver and the best receiver core in the league. Period.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow is one of those guys, and I loved it. I said to everybody when they beat them in the AFC Championship game, I said the Chiefs are going to have to get Burrow on the ground 5 times. If they get him on the ground 5 times, that's a win. That's guaranteed. And that last sack that Chris got in the fourth quarter, they kind of put it away for him. That was the fifth sack. And because if you don't get Burrow on the ground, if you just come close to him but don't get him on the ground, he's going to complete the pass. He's going to get it done because he's got the weapons. He's got the accuracy. He's a big dude. He's got the confidence. And he's got all of that. So you got to get him. You got to start at the head and get him on the ground. Otherwise, that receiving core is going to tear you up all game long.
Because he ain't got to be accurate. He just got to put it somewhere around there. I'd like to see they call sheet, because it's probably this is normally a 7 for other players, but you just kind of get it around here. He get it.
Right.
You know, that's a horrible thing. It just is what it is. And every generation, there's always that nemesis that just is there. And the hope I get, that they got such a tough division, I hope they just beat each other up. So by the time we play them, and unfortunately, we're starting out with Baltimore. So, and like I said, I feel like Lamar is going to, it may not be a bad thing to take that L, because I don't want him knowing too much of what we can do by the postseason, because he's bitter as hell because he ain't gone against a defense like us.
Right.
I mean, he's got a great defense himself, so he works on a great defense, but he didn't go against a defense like us, and that's what caught him off guard. People want to argue about his stats and his – bro, he's going against the best defense in the league. Yeah. He ain't got to do that but once a year.
But even in that, and we mentioned it earlier about the running game, if a good coach can run, if you can run the ball, a good coach is going to keep running the ball on you. And I thought, honestly, and I mean, I it's what it is. I thought, honestly, Baltimore gave up on the run way too easily in the second half of that game because they were gassing the Chiefs in the run game. Because, I mean, it's Lamar. Like, so now you put Henry back there as well. That is a powerful running 1-2 punch coming at you. Like, they're going to have to really step up, and that D-line is going to really have to be the one that's going to have to stop Henry and let the DBs cover up the receivers and try to figure out how to keep Lamar somewhere in the backfield, you know.
But that's what I'm saying. Lamar going to tear up the linebackers because he got Henry. That's where he's going. Why wouldn't you? All I need y'all to do is take that step. I need you to take that one step towards the line, and I'm throwing
right behind. Going out the other way. Yeah.
I'm right behind
I'm coming out the backfield and on the other side.
I want to talk about that. See, that's scary stuff. I want to talk about that. That put more fear in my heart that there's going to be something bad that's going to happen to us, because the one thing defense can't stand is not just a running quarterback, but one that runs and gets yards. I hated playing Mike Vick. Hated it. I had a loop where I had to contain his ass, and I'm like, why y'all call this shit? Don't make no sense. Why am I containing on Mike Vick? That don't make any sense.
That didn't make sense to me. Like, why am I doing this?
It does. Like, I was the nose tackle. I was 315. Why am I containing Mike Vick? It don't even make sense.
Yeah, well, you couldn't get up the field. They wouldn't let you get up the field. You had to stay in your lane.
You know, what's the drill? The pursuit drill? Where you go to cone 20 yards down the field? That's what I did to contain them.
Right.
I just took off 20 yards down the field because I'm like, I ain't going to go up there and get embarrassed on national television. So y'all can put this film out there and say I'm the worst defensive lineman ever? Uh-uh. I'm going to go ahead and take this 20-yard angle. And I hope I get him there. Don't you know that Joker still outran me?
Damn.
When I took a deep angle downfield, I didn't even try to go straight down the line of scrimmage. I took an angle, and he still outran me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar.
He's even worse because he can really throw really good.
He actually can. And that was the thing that, like you said, he got caught off guard with against the Chiefs was, even though he could really throw, he had not seen anybody cover the way the Chiefs could cover. Like,
cover
when there's nobody there, when there's nobody there to throw the ball to because all your receivers are covered up, that's a problem.
Well, it was cover and pressure. That was fast. Because made the right call. He brought the dog when he had to. He switched with the safety. That was all spag because he made good calls against that Joker. And it is what it is. You literally just went against the best. And they, to me, proved that they're the best defense because of how they did him. Everybody comes in, he's going to throw this, he's going to throw that. Not when he plays the Chiefs.
Yes, sir.
So,
and that's a great part. Even though we got Burrow in week two, that's the one thing I keep saying. It's really, Burrow ain't seen this defense yet. The last time he played the Chiefs, that defense was good. But they ain't this defense.
Yeah, you're right.
They are now. I'm reckoning with these boys. That defense ain't no joke, man. I love watching the defense play. Like, man, just suffocating dudes, man. Just when you only give up 17 points a game in the NFL, that's crazy to me. Like, that's just nuts.
That's the Ted Cottrell philosophy. Ted Cottrell, he was a coordinator for Buffalo Bills forever when they were the greatest. But that was his philosophy, 17 points or less.
Yeah.
And at least two turnovers.
Ooh, man.
You won't lose the game.
You will not lose.
No. You won't lose the game. So yeah, I really am optimistic. I think we're the best defense in the game. I think I'm praying that we stay that way. It's easier said than done because everybody is retooling and trying to put together a matrix that's going to be similar to what the Chiefs got. But I think the Chiefs are just way ahead of the curve right now. They're setting a new curve. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
The only people that can beat the Chiefs at this point is themselves. You know, you see how they play regular season compared to the postseason. They were very locked in last postseason. Very locked.
Yeah.
Playing all those road games, you had to be locked.
Yes.
Yeah, hostile territory everywhere you went.
Right.
There is one monster that I don't like speaking of. It is the injury monster. And sometimes he keeps his ugly head and can devastate a team. I mean, so.
Well, hopefully we don't have too many of those. And if we do, they get back, in time. You know, that's one thing you can't predict and you can't stop.
Nope. And nothing you can do about it.
Injury is a part of the game.
The way you do it is you make sure number twos is ready to go. And they know the level of performance they have to do. The minimum is not a minimum. It is you have to be able to sustain what was who the person that was in front of you. And I say this, the hardest part about the game, when I say played behind Tester McLaughlin, that was somebody that I could literally look at and say, that man does stuff I can't do, period. Mm. He's that special elite percentage. Dan Williams was really good. He just seemed like he stayed hurt more. Now, maybe it's just because he didn't practice as much. But he did the same thing, too. When you behind these elite guys, You like, yeah. Man, I can do some things. I'm pretty special with what I got, but this joker here, holy
right.
hell, this bastard just devours people. How does he do that? And I tried my whole career to imitate. I couldn't. That's just a special cat. And so when you behind a Mahomes, when you behind a Jamar Chase, you got to do some special things. And most of us just ain't built that way because this person's a unique piece of something. And you say, well, I would give it my best. But what's that song? I gave my best, but I guess my best wasn't
good enough.
I mean, it just they got guys that are just that special.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's just the way it is. Like you said, you know, there's a reason why this guy is in this position and this guy is getting all the bread and this guy is where he's at because he is really that dude. And it just ain't no, there's no denying it. Like, you can want to and you can be behind him thinking, oh, man, I can, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be as good as I can be. You know what I'm saying? So if he do go out, I'm going to ball out. You know, I may not be him, but I'm going to do all I can do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and again, there aren't many of them, but that's why they're sprinkled throughout the league, and you don't always know who they are. They draft and do all the research they could do. Sometimes that guy's sitting as a free agent. Sometimes that guy's in the seventh round.
Right.
You don't know. Nobody knows until he gets on that field.
Yeah.
And then when you see him, you're like, oh, my goodness.
That's that dude.
But you just want everybody else to be the absolute best they could be. So when you get those special guys, they go out and do special things.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, man, I tell you what, man, we are locked inside the Locker Room Show, having a great time here. Steve Martin, Big Jax, along with our great guest, Marcus Spears. Now, Marcus, we spend time here in the locker room because Steve is really an expert in the whole area of the NIL deals that are out here and at the college level. And so one of the missions that we have with this show is we're trying to educate parents and athletes about that whole system and how it works and the things that they can do to try to get their kids to not only get those deals, but actually use that money to secure their future. You feel me? So, Steve, I know you always have some NIL topical information that's good for us to have. Where are you coming from tonight? What are you talking about tonight as far as the NIL is concerned?
Well, I want to stay focused on the private family trust because that's the main thing that you have to understand about how this money, what you do with this money. Because all the universities, and Marcus, your son's still at Iowa State, is he?
No, he's at Texas State right now.
He's where?
He's at Texas State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he transferred about 10 years ago.
Okay, so he's a senior?
Yeah, he's a 7-year senior. He tore his ACL last year, and they gave him another year.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Has he got any NIL deals?
Yeah, he has. It's some small stuff. It's some small stuff, though. But he has, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to educate you on what I'm trying to do. What I got is a company called SimplePlays.com and .net, and it's Plays with a Z. And what we're doing is we're just trying to build the marketplace for NIL athletes. All the universities teach us how to pay your taxes.
Right.
And I'm teaching how to do tax avoidance, not evasion. Avoidance, there's a difference. And the number one way is to set up a private family trust. So all of the money that these universities are getting, they're getting from these large TV deals, but none of the universities claim that as income. They can't. Because like I referenced last show, was the Big Ten with the $10 billion deal, which is $1 billion to each school every year. Well, they can't put that on their books. because they can't then turn to alumni if they still donate to the university. So what they came up with was putting things through a marketing company, and they hypothecate their name, image, and likeness to the marketing company. That gives the marketing company the ability to negotiate whatever deals they can for the benefactor, which is the university. So the university then, in turn, they still do the business the way they do it. So I don't know if you've been on many campuses, but like Mizzou just built a $100 million indoor practice facility. I'm sure it'll be paid off before the end of the year. And the reason why is because the school raises the bond, and they get a bond initiative going to raise the money to build the facility. They then use their private trust, and I'm not sure how it's set up, and I really want to get digging into the research on exactly how they set it up, but we've surmised we could do it through a private trust. And in that private trust, whatever money goes in there is tax-free. You don't have to pay taxes on that money at all because it's private. So if you do a private family trust, any money you get could go into that private trust, and it's tax-free. There's no taxable event on anything until you pull the money out. So when you pull the money out, whatever you're pulling out, that's what gets taxed. So my hope for my youngest son was 4 years, $4 million. My hope was is that he would get $1 million a year. He didn't get it, by the way. But he would get $1 million a year. It would be paid out monthly for the 12 months. That was my hope. All of that money, I don't want him getting that much money being as young as he is. So put it in a private family trust and then pay him a salary from the trust because he's a benefactor. So I could pay him $60,000, $80,000 a year. When I pay him that money, he can pay taxes on that if he chooses. But that's the IRS to jump in because you took the money from private to public. So that money would be his living wage for the year, but say he wanted to buy a car, large purchase item. Well, because you got money, let's go ahead and get you a car. But what we'll do is we'll go get a loan. So because he's got income, but his income is $80,000, he states that to the dealer, finance people, whatever, and they say, okay, we can loan you up to $40,000, $50,000 on 60-month note. Great. Now you got a nice car. You don't just have a DeJoppe like we had when we was in college. Now you can get a nice car, and when you get that nice car, make a couple payments, validating a debt, and then discharge it from the private trust. Now you discharge because it's not a taxable event because you're servicing debt. And as long as you're servicing debt, you can discharge any debt with your private trust money. And it doesn't cause a taxable event. So you got this, let's say, brand new Range Rover, $120,000 truck. You make two payments, which would be, $1,400 a month or something like that. But you make two payments because you got the money. And then you just say, okay, I'm going to discharge from my trust. When you discharge it, you just got $120,000-something and you only paid $2,500 on it at most. This is how we need to learn how to operate our name, image, and likeness. And that when you set it up like this and we get enough people engaged, you just get a locker room. You just change the negotiation ability of everybody in that locker room. Because now you could go to the team and say, hey, we want to get paid the money you're paying us, but we don't want to have to take the taxable event. So pay my private trust where I hypothecated my name, image, and likeness, and now they can pay you that money full and clear, and you don't pay any taxes on it. And now you can start living your life with a trust that pays for all your major events. And you just pay yourself a living wage as opposed to the 4 years, $4 million, having to pay taxes on $1 million. You're only paying taxes on $80,000. Now, just imagine your contracts and everyone that I did, this changes my life. Because that's an additional 50% of what I earned that got taken in taxes.
Yeah.
So the private trust is everything. And it's private trust is really easy to set up. IRS.gov, go to set up a business, select private family trust, and just ask through the questions that it takes you through. It's free, so you don't have to pay a lawyer or anybody else to do this for you. And many lawyers, a lawyer that charges you for this is an asshole because it's free. Mm. But you set up you answer the question, set up that you'll get an EIN. And what'll let you know it's private is it'll begin with a 9. And when it begins with a 9, then you know you got a private trust. You literally take the trust, go open an account at a bank, give them that EIN, and now you're ready to do business. So if you don't do anything else, just do that. And that by itself, you'll start to understand, especially if you get any kind of large retirement amount. You get to liquidate your 401k, annuity, whatever. You could do this. It's a private family trust, and you're the only one who knows what goes on with it. Now, the only thing you have to do is you have to tell the bank who is your line of succession. So if you're married, you're both married, you both are the trustees for the trust account. And then your line of succession would be your kids, or if you want to put your parents on there, brother, sister. All the bank needs to know is, in the event that you pass or you're not available, who do we go to? And it doesn't have to be 50 people. It's only got to be like 3 or 4 people. And you have to talk with your bank and their trust management system on how they do it. Don't be afraid of this. It's new. It's new to you, but the banking system knows very well about this because people with great wealth, this is what they do. Nothing is in their name. Everything is in the trust name or a company name or something to that effect. It is not in their name. And as long as you keep it private, there's nothing anybody can do to you unless they know the name of your trust. And don't tell nobody the name of your trust.
Wow.
So that's my food for thought for today. And once we get to be live, I can take questions on that. But private family trust, IRS.gov, starting a business, and it's under it should be under private family trust.
Nice. IRS.gov, understand the private family trust. Everybody can get out there and set up their own private family trust for their family and be able to take complete advantage of the rules. And that's what it's really about. Like you said, it's not avoidance. It is...
No, it's not evasion. It's avoidance.
It's not evasion. It's avoidance. And to be able to, you know, avoid paying taxes on as much of your money as you can in order for it to be in your pocket and not in the government's pocket. Like, why wouldn't you want to do that? So, again, that's a mission that we are on, that we're going to educate people, all of these different families, so many families and these kids that are out here able to get this money. I'm so happy for them. I'm so glad these rules are now in place, that these players are able to go out here and get this money the way they can. Now we just got to teach people how to make sure they keep as much as possible and use it for their own future and save it. So in here in the locker room show, man, we have had a great time tonight. Steve Martin, Big Jack, our special guest, Marcus Spears. Big Dog, when you going to be in town, man? I can't wait to see you again, bro. We need to hook up.
Man, I should be there pretty soon, but I will give you guys a ring when I get there.
Ooh, do what that, man. We gonna hang out. Maybe go catch a Krispy Kreme, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we'll do something when I get there, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Man.
Yeah, I look forward to having you on more often.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us out, because I appreciate it.
My pleasure, brother. My pleasure. Y'all have a good night.
Appreciate that. And again, you guys, people locked in on here in the locker room show with Steve Martin and Big Jack. right here on the Takeover Sports Radio. It's your boy Big Jack. As I always say, man, remember, love makes the difference. This is Big Jack, Steve Martin, Locker Room Show. You're out. Peace.
Peace.
Follow.